Good morning, dear devotees. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Today is Monday, so we'll have a short talk and focus more on japa today. And we'll see what happens when we start reading. I'm reading from Chapter 3, text, make sure I get the right text. Text 183. No, text 182. 182. Yes, I think the last text we spoke about Prahlad Maharaj and his intense desire to see the Lord despite the fact that he was seeing him within his heart. He wanted to see him with his eyes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Volume 2, Chapter 3, Text 182. Krishnasya saksharapi jayate yat kesan chirakshi dvaya milanadi Dhyaram natat kintu madam bharena kampari vat prema vikaresha. When some devotees, even while seeing Krishna in person, close their eyes and appear to withdraw into their minds, this may seem to be meditation, but in fact it is not. Rather, it is a transformation brought on by excessive joy, like the trembling and other signs of ecstasy in devotees and pure love. Commentary. This verse answers the possible objection that when Sanaka Kumara and his brothers met the Lord of Vaikuntha, they went into a trance of meditation, as described by Maitreya Muni in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll skip the Sanskrit. It's canto 3, chapter 15, text 44. The Lord's beautiful face appeared to them like the inside of a blue lotus, and the Lord's smile appeared like a blossoming jasmine. After seeing the face of the Lord, the sages were fully satisfied, and when they wanted to see him further, they looked upon the nails of his lotus feet, which resembled rubies. Thus they viewed the Lord's transcendental body again and again, and so they finally achieved meditation on the Lord's personal feature. In this verse, the word nidhadhyu from the verb nidhyai, to meditate deeply, seems to indicate that when the Kumaras saw the Lord, they passively withdrew into meditative contemplation. But as the Vaikuntha Dutas point out, we should not judge simply from the outward appearance of these symptoms. Closing of the eyes, ceasing from bodily movements, need not be signs of meditative trance. They may instead be physical expressions of bhavas, devotional ecstasies, similar to other physical signs of ecstasy, like trembling, perspiration, standing up of the bodily hair. Maitreya Muni described the ecstasy of the Kumaras as meditation only because it seemed so externally. Therefore, the superiority of directly seeing the Lord with one's own eyes stands undefeated. Om Agyanatimirandasya Garanjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmanitam Nyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Garim Yakripatamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shanyavari Pastachade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Harshi Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'll speak a little bit on this verse, but then I'm going to try to cover two verses today. We'll go to the next verse as well. This verse, again, is just concluding the arguments which have been given up until now of the superiority of seeing the Lord with one's eyes over and above meditation. And Sanatana Goswami is addressing in the commentary more elaborately than has just already been explained in the verse itself, that somebody may look for evidence and they may see that, but there is evidence in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when the four Kumaras came before the presence of the Lord, they looked at his face, they looked at the glistening of his toenails, they looked at his all the features of his body, and then they closed their eyes. So someone may think, and even not only to close their eyes, but Maitreya Rishi uses the word, they began to meditate on the Lord. So somebody may say, well, here's evidence that that the four Kumaras found it more pleasurable, even after seeing the Lord with their eyes, to enter into meditation upon his form. Therefore, the conclusion of this commentary is the superiority of directly seeing the Lord with one's own eyes stands undefeated. And why? Because Vaikuntha Dutas and Sanatana Goswami as well in his commentary explains that what the four Kumaras were experiencing was only externally described by Maitreya. Yes, they closed their eyes. And he used the word meditation because that's how it looked, as if it was meditating. But actually, the devotees of the Lord who see the Lord, and this is what's been, of course, explained again and again in these verses, upon seeing the Lord with the eyes, one experiences the highest ecstasy, the highest satisfaction. There's nothing greater than actually looking upon the transcendental form with one's eyes. And then we explained also the different types of opportunities that one can get to see the Lord with one's eyes, even if it may appear to be with one's material eyes, and the explanation was given, yes, but the Lord can do anything. He can even appear before, if he so chooses by his mercy, he may choose to appear before someone's material eyes. He may choose that. And we also, in the previous verse, example that we spoke about yesterday, but we didn't speak about on Saturday, was the example of Lord Brahma. That Lord Brahma was given as a rare event that happened, that Lord Brahma he actually perceived the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha. He actually perceived the presence of the Lord before him. He not only did he perceive the presence of the Lord before him, but he perceived an interaction with the Lord, because as it's described in the Bhagavatam, the Lord, in Brahma's meditation, came and took Brahma by the hand and held his hand. And not only that, but the Lord also, he actually fulfilled Brahma's prayer and gave him the benediction and explained to him through instruction how he could recreate the universe again. All these interactions with the Lord were all taking place within the heart. Because then, subsequent to all that, then what happened was, after the Lord revealed his form, Vaikuntha touched him and then spoke to him, then Teni Brahma Hridaye Adikavi Muyanti Yatsurya, then he revealed the depth of Vedic wisdom within the heart of Lord Brahma. All of this took place within his heart. So someone may say, Lord Brahma had a lot of nectar interaction with the Supreme Lord. And isn't that what we're looking for? So, and it all took place within his heart. He was in samadhi. He was in complete trance. And therefore the Lord appeared to him in his trance. This is explained in the Bhagavatam, and in, even in the verses in the translation in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. It specifically states that these exchanges with the Lord took place with Brahma in his meditation. So, therefore, someone may say that this sounds to me like it's a very nice interaction with the Lord in meditation. That's not so bad. But then Sanatana Goswami explained in two verses previously, he said, yes, it could happen like that. It did happen like that to Lord Brahma. But Lord Brahma's example is extremely rare. Extremely rare. And therefore, he goes on to explain that because it's so rare, for a devotee to be inspired, he should look for something that is more achievable and greater than just simply to be able to achieve the presence of the Lord within the heart. And that, of course, is by direct darshan, sakshat darshan, where one actually sees the Lord present before him with his eyes. This is considered to be greater. So the example here given of the four Kumaras was simply that they also, they appeared to go into meditation after seeing the form of the Lord. But Sanatana Goswami is elaborating on this point, that their closing of their eyes and what appeared to be meditation was simply a sattvika bhav or anubhav. There's different types of bhavas. There's vibhav, anubhav, sattvika bhav. Then there's vyabhachari bhava. Of course, then there's the sthayi bhava. All these different bhavas. But sthayi bhava is the one's relationship. But there's so many different types of vyabhachari bhavas, such as even yawning, drowsiness. These are ecstatic symptoms, which may include closing the eyes. And therefore, what Sanatana Goswami is explaining, yes, they closed the eyes, and externally it looked like they were meditating, but actually it was just simply their ecstatic symptoms, their bhavas, which were manifest upon seeing the beautiful form of the Lord before them. And therefore, Sanatana Goswami says, okay, stands undefeated, this is closed. No more arguments. Now let's move into what's really what we're looking for, and that is actually described here in the next verse as Madhurena Samapayet. Now, Madhurena Samapayet is an expression which is used many times. Prabhupada used it. Prabhupada used it when he was taking prasadam. Prabhupada, when he was taking his meal, he used a specific quote, Madhurena Samapayet. He gave the example that in Bengal, first you take shukta, then you take shak, you take something bitter, and then at the end of the meal comes milk, banana, and sweet. And Prabhupada used that as an example, and then he says specifically, Madhurena Samapayet, which means that when something should end on a sweet note. So there are so many examples how something should end on a sweet note. Now this whole narration that we've gone through is going to end on a very sweet note. And there are many examples which we're going to give of different events, even in the very, very beginning of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, actually. In the very, very big beginning of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's a verse, Janamajaya. He said, Janamajaya is saying, Shri Janamajaya Uvacha, Na Vaishampayanat, Prapto Brahmanyo Bharate Rasa, Tvato Labdha, Satech Chesam, Madhurena Samapaya. And this is right very beginning of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says, Sri Janamajaya said, O Brahman, by hearing the Mahabharata from Vaishampayana, I never obtained the same relish I have now obtained by hearing from you. Please complete this recitation with perfect sweetness. So that was Janamajaya's request at the very beginning of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And we'll hear more examples, but let's get to the next verse and we'll get to explain why this next verse is an example of Madhurena Samapayet. The verse is text 183, Dhyanam Parokshe Yujeta Natu Sakshan Mahaprabho Aparokshe Parokshe Pi Yuktam Sankirtanam Sada. Meditation makes sense when the Supreme Lord cannot be seen, not when he is directly present. But Sankirtan is always befitting whether the Lord is visible or not. Commentary. Drawing the argument to a close on an especially sweet note, Madhurena Samapayet, the messengers of Vaikuntha reiterate the importance of Nam Sankirtan. Seeing the Supreme Lord with one's own eyes is more desirable than merely seeing him in meditation, and the best means of achieving direct vision of him is to chant his holy names. The behavior of all kinds of devotees of the Lord gives ample evidence then in every situation, Sankirtan is appropriate. Yesterday, I think we talked about examples are very important. And that's why in the verse, Pallad was used as an example of somebody who was yearning to see the Lord. And specifically, in the commentary, it said yesterday that the experiences of Prahlad and other great devotees should be taken seriously because sadachara, the behavior of elevated persons, is important evidence for judging what is of true value. According to Sri Hari Bhakti Sudhadaya, it was after Prahlad first saw Lord Nrisimha that Prahlad's pure love fully blossomed. We already explained this. We're not going to go back there again. But again, example. So, the behavior of all kinds of devotees of the Lord gives ample evidence that in every situation, Sankirtan is appropriate. And now they're going to give different examples. But before we give these different examples, the different examples are going to be all in reference to the gopis, how the gopis were singing Krishna's names, even during the rasa dance, and Krishna was personally present to them. They were actually singing again and again the names of Krishna in his presence. When Krishna was not present before them, Krishna, it is the whole Gopi Gita, Gita song. The gopis were singing so many verses in glorification of Krishna. That was their sankirtan. It was their sankirtan in separation of Krishna. And it was that sankirtan in separation of Krishna that Krishna was nearby watching and listening to the whole time, hearing their sankirtan in separation from him. But he was always with them. And he explained to them afterwards when he reappeared to them that I was always with you. And I was always watching you. It was the sankirtan of the gopis, of course, which drew Krishna back to appear before them and to enjoy Rasa Leela. Then they're going to give another example of the sankirtan of Bhramara Gita. Bhramara Gita was Radharani's sankirtan when Uddhava went to Vrindavan and she began glorifying Krishna, engaging in sankirtan by in various ways glorifying, she was glorifying Krishna. So this is what this purport is going to describe. But I wanted to also just take a little time because I as I said, I'm not going to go too long today. I could, because this is a good topic. This Madhurena Samapayat is a good topic. Because there's many different examples that are given in Shastra, not just that a good meal ends with a sweet, but there are other examples which are given. And that is, for instance, when the gopis were feeling intense separation of Krishna, when Krishna left them and then the gopis began searching for them, the gopis, then they began imitating Krishna's activities, his pastimes. And there was a very narration of all the different activities that they were doing. And actually, the one gopi was Putana, and another gopi was holding on and the breast of Putana. Another gopi was Shakatasura, and another gopi took the position of Krishna kicking the cart of Shakatasura. Another gopi was Trinavarta, and another gopi was on the body of Trinavarta. Now, of course, it's a very important to note, this is an indirect point, but it's an important point to note, that these descriptions which are given in the Bhagavatam of the gopis assuming different personalities in their absorption of Krishna and becoming just like they were Krishna, that in the, where is it? Ananda Vrindavan Champu by Kavi Kanapur. In Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Kavi Kanapur explains that for a gopi to become Putana, for a gopi to become Trinavarta, for a gopi to become Shakatasura, this is not anukul, this is pratikul. And therefore, under those circumstances, Yogamaya stepped in. And Yogamaya actually assumed these forms, because what gopi would actually want to be absorbed in the mentality of Putana? What gopi would want to be absorbed in the mentality of Trinavarta? It's pretty cool. It's not favorable. So Yogamaya, she actually assumed those forms, and the other gopi, Krishna personally entered into them, and Krishna acted within them, and they were, of course, anukul. They were thinking like Krishna. They actually thought they were Krishna. That was their thinking. So this is explained by Kavi Kanapur in Ananda Vrindavan Champu. But the point is, and now let's get to the point, that there were various descriptions of how the gopis were taking the position or taking of Krishna in their feelings of separation from him. But the last pastime, which was given after all these descriptions, was Damodar Lila. That was the last pastime. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatana Goswami explains in his commentary of this. He says that Madhurena Samapayat. He said the last pastime, Damodar Lila, is the most sweet of all the different pastimes, because it is the pastime where Krishna comes completely under the control of the love of his devotee. It's so sweet. So that's the last one referred to in that particular section when the gopis were imitating Krishna in the pastimes. That's one example. Another example is the Damodarastika prayer. In the Damodarastika prayer, on the last prayer, the eighth verse, Namo Radhikaya Toyai Praya Namo Nantalila Devaya Tubhyam. Satyavrata Muni, he actually leaves the sweetest part for the end. He brings it up, but only in an indirect way. And Sanatana Goswami, again in his Tika, his Digdarshini Tika, on the Damodarastika prayers, he makes the point that Satyavrata Muni, he didn't go into so much detail, but he was actually alluding to the fact that the most sweet, the most relishable pastimes are those pastimes with the gopis, especially with Radharani. And that's why Radharani's name appears in the last verse of the Damodarastika prayers. He's only alluding to it, and he actually explains in his Digdarshini Tika that when he uses the ananta of his pastimes, he's alluding to the fact that Krishna's pastimes are ananta. They're unlimited. They're much more to them than just manifesting this when Satyavrata Muni is saying that may this form of Bala Gopal ever be manifest in my heart. And then he also uses the same example, may that form manifest in the heart. But then it also says in the sixth verse, he says, what is that sixth verse? When you know them all in succession, it's hard to go back and remember one. I know, sixth verse. I can't remember. Anyways, in the sixth verse, he says, Namo Devo Damodarantana Vishnu Prasida Prabhu Kripa Dristi Vishya Tidinam Bhutanu Grihaneshamam Hidyakshi Drishya. Drishya. I want to see with my eyes. The fourth verse, he says, I manifest in my heart, but then he says in the sixth verse, I want to see you with my eyes. So he goes from the heart, then he goes to the eyes, and then in the eighth verse, he goes on to explain that Namo Radhikaya Tvadiya Priyayai Namo Nantalilai Edevaya Tubhyam, that the ananta, these pastimes, are unlimited, and he goes in and referring indirectly to the pastimes with the gopis and Srimati Radharani. Again, so Sanatana Goswami uses the same expression, Madhurena Samapayat, just in the Damodarasika prayers. It ends on the most sweet note. And then there's another example. And this will be the last example, and then we'll end and we'll start chanting Ajapa. But the other example is that what Jiva Goswami, he took different prayers of Rupa Goswami. If you read the book Stavamala is simply all prayers by Rupa Goswami. But they weren't put in a very orderly fashion. So what Jiva Goswami did, he took everything written by Rupa Goswami, all his different prayers, about Vrindavan, Yamunastakam, Vrindavanastakam, then prayers about Mathura, then so many other prayers. And then he put all these prayers together in Stavamala. And then the last prayer he put in Stavamala, which was composed by Rupa Goswami, was Namastakam. Last prayer. Why? Madhurina Samapayat. He took all the prayers and he wanted to end it on the most sweet. The most sweet. This is another example that when you take something like what Rupa Goswami produced, he considered that the Namastakam, or the prayers of the glorification of the holy name, to be the most sweet. And that's what the next verse, we won't get to it today, but the next verse is, and the last verse, practically the last verse of this chapter, is how Sanatha Goswami is going to describe that Krishna considers his name is even more dear to him than his form. Considers his name even much more dear. And that is going to be the next verse and different example. That will come next class. I'm not going to go there today. But I'll just read the verse. Dearer to the Lord than even his own beautiful form, his easily worshipped holy name benefits the entire world. Indeed, nothing is as full of nectar as the holy name of the Lord. So there's Nama Nami. So the name is even more sweet than the Nami. So as we said in the Stavamala prayers, Jiva Goswami, when he compiled, he ended all of those prayers by Rupa Goswami with Namastaka. And I will simply read the Namastaka prayers, and we'll end with Namastaka prayers today, and then we'll begin our rounds, our chanting of our japa. So I thought it would be appropriate, Madhurena Samapayat, to end on a sweet note. So we'll read the Namastaka. I'll just read the translation. O Harinam, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You are eternally adored by liberated souls such as Narada and Shukadeva. O Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. O Harinam, O name sung by the sages, O transcendental syllables that bring bliss to the people, even if you are spoken only once, and even if you are spoken disrespectfully, you at once remove the many harsh sufferings of everyone. O son of the holy name, even the dim light of your early dawn gives the sight of pure devotion to they who are blind to the truth. What learned person in this world is able to describe your transcendental glory? The Vedas declare that although meditation on impersonal Brahman cannot bring freedom from past karma, O holy name, your appearance at once makes all karma disappear. O holy name, I pray that my love for you in your many forms, such as Agadamana, crusher of Agasura, Yasoda Nandana, son of Yasoda, Nanda Suno, son of Nanda, Kamala Nayana, lotus-eyed, Gopi Chandra, moon of the Gopis, Vrajendra Nanda, Vrindavanendra, king of Vrindavan, Pranata Karuna, merciful to the surrendered souls, and Krishna, may greatly increase. O holy name, you are manifest in two forms, the supreme person described by the holy name and the sound vibration of the holy name. We know that the second form is more merciful than the first. Even a person who commits many offenses to the first form may become always plunged into an ocean of bliss by serving the second with his voice. O name that destroys the many sufferings of they who take shelter of you, O name that is the form of delightful and intense spiritual bliss, O name that is a festival of happiness for Gokul. O perfect and complete holy name of Lord Krishna, I bow down and offer my respects to you. I bow down and offer my respects to you. O life of Narada's Veena, O flood of the waves of sweet nectar, O holy name of Lord Krishna, please sweetly appear on my tongue. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. We'll end here. I have a short announcement. For those of you who may be interested, it seems like on Wednesday I will be giving a class to the devotees in New Vrajadam in Hungary. And Sivaram Maharaj has asked me to do it. And I conditionally agreed. I conditionally agreed and said, as long as I can see somebody on the other end, so I can talk to somebody instead of a camera. And then I also said, if it's possible, that if it can be not only translated into Hungarian, but if it can be translated into Russian. We don't know yet if it can be translated into Russian. It may be translated into Hungarian. And I just don't know, but it's supposed to be decided by tomorrow morning. But it's on Wednesday, and it's 12 o'clock noontime, Moscow time, 11 o'clock Hungary time, which means it's 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday. 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it seems like, I don't know, I'm still waiting for a confirmation, but if it's confirmed, and I suspect it will be confirmed, then that class will be available on Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Excuse me, 11 o'clock Hungary time, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 o'clock Moscow time, 2:30 p.m. India time. So we'll end here. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Rama